Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Man, I was so confident heading into this game tonight. Boy, oh boy, so very confident that we were going to party on the post-game show tonight. I've had way too much coffee. Way too much caffeine coursing through my veins right now, ladies and gentlemen, to have the type of show that I'm sure we're going to have. And I said on pregame earlier today that a loss tonight would be tough to stomach. And, well, it most certainly is. And now I drank coffee, so yeah, the stomach's going to be all sorts of messed up. Royals lose 3-1 the final score. They just dropped a series to the Colorado Rockies. I mean, our lonely eyes once again turn to Brady Singer and shockingly say, Brady, save us. Don't allow us to be swept at the hands of the lowly Colorado Rockies. And yet, as I say that, how in control of tomorrow's final score is Brady Singer. And Cole Reagan's pitched his freaking tail off last night. What does he have to show for it? Nothing. Seth Lugo pitched his tail off tonight, and what does he have to show for it? Well, unlike Reagan's, Lugo was saddled with the loss. Hey, phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. I'll be honest with you, I'm not angry. I thought earlier today, if the Royals lose this game, yeah, I'm going to tear it down. We're going to rip this post-game show apart. Of course, I thought it was going to be tough to stomach because I thought it was unthinkable that the Royals would drop the first two games in Colorado with Reagans and Lugo on the bump. But I promise I'm not angry. What I am is bummed out. I'm disappointed, downtrodden, sad. Again, hey, text line, I see it. You're right. 48 and 43. Yeah, if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, no doubt, of course, I'm going to hit that button. No doubt, it's been a great season, and it still is a great season. Two things can be true, right? It's not difficult to have two thoughts in your brain. You could acknowledge great job ownership, great job front office, great job players and coaching staff. Man, it's been a lot of fun this season in Kansas City. And at the same time, say, these two losses in Colorado, man, it's going to take a long time and a lot of winning before I shake these out of my mind. Not angry, just bummed out on a Saturday night, man. Now, I believe in Brady Singer. I'm excited to see what Michael Wacha does when he goes back to St. Louis coming up on Tuesday night. Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I expect the Royals to win tomorrow. Expect them to, split in St. Louis and battle Boston tough for the final three games. No, I'm not waving any sort of a white flag, but I am remembering back in April and May when a lot of you would call up and say, oh, Vern, stop it. Don't tell me about how great this rotation is. I don't care what the defense and the team speed has done so far. What this Royals team is doing, Vern, is beating up on bad teams. Right, they wiped the floor with the White Sox. They got fat against Oakland. Remember that? A lot of you were telling me that this was a mirage. In April and May, what we were seeing was unsustainable because the Royals were beating up on the dregs of Major League Baseball. Well, fast forward to today, and man, I wish the Royals were beating up on the bottom feeders. They dropped 2 of 3 in Oakland, and now, at best, dropped 2 of 3 in Denver. I'm telling you, it's going to take a lot of winning before we forget about this series about that Oakland series. The Royals are now 8 games below .500 away from Kauffman Stadium. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Tough to remember two more disappointing losses than these two. You know, even in Oakland, one of those losses was a young starting pitcher, and his search for consistency, right? Alec Marsh had a rough go in Oakland. Now, there was nothing rough about Seth Lugo tonight. Nothing rough about Cole Reagans last night, and yet it's a pair of L's. Maybe the most disheartening 48 hours of the season. 913-587-610. At least the most disheartening 48 hours since the first few weeks of the season when we were unsure what kind of ball club we had in 2024. But after those first few weeks, it became clear that this rotation was supreme. That this defense, this base-running ball club, top-notch. Tonight, the defense plays a role in one of the Colorado runs. And the base-running possibly takes a run off the board as Bobby Witt Jr. thought that ball got by Diaz behind the dish. And he's caught between first and second for the second out of that eighth inning. When the Royals were hoping to start a rally, Bobby ends it quickly by getting picked off. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. We'll start off out in Topeka. Dave, you're going to hit leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Good evening. Man, I'm frustrated. Disappointed, and frankly, I got a question. Some of the moves the front office made. They brought Pennington up for two batters. He gets them out, something a bullpen hadn't done with anybody. But yet we keep Hernandez up.
Hernandez was gone. He's gone. He was the move for Pennington yesterday.
Oh, okay. I guess I missed that.
That's all right.
Thank God. I mean, the guy walked three guys on, what, 20 pitches?
Right. Anyway. Yeah, Hernandez is back in Omaha. Pennington was sent back to Omaha today. He's because pitched back-to-back days. He pitched yesterday and then the day before in Omaha, so he wouldn't have been able to be used today, and the team needed to make a move with Chris Bubich. He came off the IL. It's either bring him to the big league club or send him to Omaha.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Send Pennington down. We can always bring him back up.
Right.
I'm just frustrated. I mean, our
defense is
playing outstanding. Our starting pitching. I mean, Reagans and
Lugo.
Lugo, yeah. They pitched 38 games this year. We got a 20-18 record with them. With 28 quality starts. My goodness. Right now, our bats, I don't know what's gone wrong with them. Hell, they could drop the dang things and wouldn't even hit the ground. It's just frustrating.
I
hope they get it turned around. I mean, we're playing one of the worst pitching staffs in Major League history, and we can't score more than three runs in two games. Ain't doesn't make sense. I'll quit my venting and my rambling and go back to listening to you because probably make more sense out of it than I will.
Well, you're making good points, Dave. It's nice to hear from you, buddy. It opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. And remember, when you look in that Royals bullpen, there aren't a lot of options available as far as minor league options. Like Chris Stratton's not going anywhere. Will Smith, you can't send him down to AAA. Now, the guys that have options, I don't know if, you know, Sam Long's not going anywhere. Not tonight, not when he's of use. So it was really a numbers game more so than a performance thing when it comes to the demotion earlier today of Walter Pennington. And yeah, Dave, it's shocking that the Royals are 20-18 in games started by Reagans and Lugo. 2 games above .500 with two of the 10 best pitchers in the American League this season. Lugo today, six innings of two-run baseball. His ERA inflates to 2.21. That's still the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball. It's still the lowest ERA by any pitcher making his first 19 starts with the Royals franchise. And it's the third lowest ERA by any Royals pitcher ever to start a season. Only Zach Greinke in 09 and Royals Hall of Fame pitcher Paul Splittorff in 1971 had a lower mark than Seth Lugo through 19 starts. Dave, nice to hear from you. Let's go out to Blue Springs, hear from our buddy Aaron. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, Aaron?
What's going on, Vern? How you doing, man?
All right.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is frustrating, I think. I don't know if you saw Bobby in the dugout after the game was over. He just looked exhausted, frustrated, all the above. And it says a lot for Royals fans and everything. But no, listen, I've got kind of a little idea, and I want to hear your thoughts about it. Maybe we can take a page out of Major League Two's playbook.
Love that movie.
Do you think that there needs to be a fight in the dugout for them to turn this around? Because right now, I just feel like they're playing just going through the motions.
I don't know if they have to fight each other. I wouldn't mind them see them fight someone else, although I don't really have animosity towards the Rockies, Cardinals, or Red Sox. So,
right, exactly. But maybe a fight in the clubhouse. It's just like, because I just don't see. I mean, I saw a little bit of Freddie talking to Massey coming across after he got pinch ran for, just like trying to motivate him to get him, you know, to step up.
So you don't really mean a fight. You don't mean a physical fight. You want to just see some emotion boil over inside the clubhouse.
For sure. I mean, you have like we always talk about every night, like the pitching staff, the starting staff is one of the best in baseball, and we can't support them. And it's just like I don't know what it takes. You know, that's not really my decision to make. It's, you know, the upper heads and coaching staff.
Well, what you're talking about, Aaron, what you're talking about, thank you very much for the phone call. What you're talking about is a player issue, right? That's not something that Matt Quatrero's good. You know, Matt Q isn't the type of guy to go flip the spread. And I don't know if that would really land. You know, this is something where you mentioned Bobby Witt Jr. You know, Bobby comes in there and voices his displeasure with himself. Vinny, as I'm reading right now, Annie Rogers live inside that Royals clubhouse. Vinny taking ownership of this loss and that error in the two-run second inning. You know, it's stuff like that, but you know, hearing Salvi yell at the guys, I don't think serves as motivation. I think what serves as motivation is, you know, you're a game and a half back of your dreams coming true, right? A game and a half back of Boston for that final wild card spot. That's what Bobby and Mike Hal and Vinny and MJ and Freddie, that's what these guys have dreamt of. Playing in the postseason. If Salvi can get back to the postseason and lead this team anywhere, I mean, that helps further cement his Hall of Fame legacy. So he, that understandably means a lot to Salvi to get to Cooperstown. He wants it. He's not running from it. He's very open about it. So these guys, I don't think, need any external motivation. They don't need someone yelling at them. Trust me, they want it more than... Well, obviously more than you and I want it. Now, what's worked for this team, what's gotten them to five games above 500, 91 games into this season, the way they've done this is by parroting the message from their manager, Matt Quatrero, and that is, this game is over. It has no bearing on what happens tomorrow. Show up tomorrow with the intention of winning, with the expectation of winning. You know, honestly, and I've seen it now for 12 years, the thing that I don't need to lock in, But if I did, it happens almost daily. If I'm upset after a tough loss, and again, I'm just a bozo on the radio. Who cares about my spirits? But if I'm in that clubhouse, when I'm in that clubhouse after a disappointing loss like this, it's always amazing to watch Salvi walk in. Salvi walks into that clubhouse smelling good, looking good, smiling, feeling good, and he gives off an aura of, oh yeah, we are good. Oh yeah, we are playing baseball. Let's go out here and work our tails off. Let's go get after it. A hard 90 feet, a hard 9 innings. So that's what they need to do, because what you're talking about, Aaron, to me, is going to lead them to gripping the bat a lot tighter. It's going to prolong this offensive skid. Royals lose game two in Colorado, 3-1, the final score. The boys are now on pace to win 85 games this season. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number. That's also the text line number, 913-586-7610. We'll get back to your phone calls and head inside that Royals clubhouse after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Payoff pitch. Curveball line down the left field line. Melendez over, slides, makes a backhand grab. Terrific play from MJ Melendez to rob Ezekiel Tovar.
That's Jake Eisenberg on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Great catch from MJ Melendez. One of a handful of solid defensive plays tonight from one of the best defensive teams in baseball. Kyle Isbell getting nice in the sixth inning in center field. But that play helps Seth Lugo record his second out of his fifth inning of work. Lugo went six innings. He always goes six innings. Six innings of two-run baseball, and yet he takes the loss. Royals lose 3-1 to the Colorado Rockies to drop the series in Denver. Royals haven't won a road series since the end of May. I mentioned Lugo went six innings. He's now gone at least six innings in 17 of his 19 starts. There's nobody else in baseball that can say that. Lugo leads Major League Baseball in innings pitched, and tonight, his 15th quality start, also the most in Major League Baseball. The Royals' rotation tonight with their 45th quality start. That's top three in Major League Baseball. 45 quality starts in 91 games. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's head out to Springfield. Talk with John. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. John, how are you?
I'm good, Vern. A little disappointed, but no, I mean, we always got this bright spot with starting pitching. Nonetheless, we got to get this win tomorrow, I think. I mean, can't get swept by one of the worst teams.
No doubt.
But the starting pitching, it's good enough, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know what, John? I appreciate the phone call because I can just sense the big picture of what you're saying. You know, the starting pitching is going to do what I had hoped it would do back in December when this organization went the extra mile and said, no, we're not good with just Seth Lugo and Singer and Reagans. No. And, you know, Lyles and Marsh. No, we need to go spend another $16 million to bring in Michael Wacha. Once that happened, it was pretty apparent that, okay, this Royals rotation was going to offer the type of stability that we haven't seen here in years. We haven't seen in 8 years a rotation like this. And then in April and May, not only did they bring stability, they bought stability, stuff, innings, punch-outs, and, you know, for the most part, when healthy, when Michael Wacha's healthy and in the rotation, it's the second-best rotation in the American League, in my opinion, the third-best rotation in all of Major League Baseball. Yeah, so having that base, that foundation, what that means is you're going to have a chance to win 70-80% of your games. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you've heard me say this countless times, especially back in April and May, that a rotation like this is going to give you a chance to win 4 out of every 5 games. And that's still true. Now, sadly, the bullpen, the offense, Major League Baseball's instant replay have all gotten together to conspire against the Royals' rotation and find ways to lose rather than find ways to win. That's what you're talking about, John. Where I love where we're at as a franchise in 2024, coming off 106 losses, the fact that I can flip on a Royals game in the sixth inning or the seventh inning and have an 80% chance that it's a tight game, that the Royals are going to have a chance to win tonight. That's a pretty good feeling. I'd venture to guess that 60-65% of the league, 70% of fans across the country can't say that same thing. Most baseball fans don't have the comfort of, hey, I bet you my team's still in it in the sixth and seventh inning. It's a great feeling to have, John. I'm with you. But that bullpen is starting to look more and more like getting to middle of the road might be too tall of a task. Right, that's been my request all season. Offense, bullpen, I don't need you to lead the way. I just need you to be middle of the road. Somewhere between 14 and 17 in Major League Baseball, right there in the middle. Let the rotation, the defense, and the team speed, let them be elite. You just get in where you fit in. Well, the bullpen, tonight, Sam Long works around a two-out double. Chris Stratton, with the help of Garrett Hampson, wiggles out of a bases-loaded two-out jam in the eighth inning. Now, the bullpen was anything but the culprit tonight. Last night, it's a different story. Last night, the offense was the culprit, along with the bullpen. Tonight, offense had opportunities. It's a different group of culprits. Last night, it was the big bats in the middle. Tonight, it's just he just couldn't square Austin Gomber up, to be quite honest with you. The Rockies lefty goes seven innings, allowing just one run. So you love where you're at pitching-wise. It's just those final few innings, getting that big hit, getting those big punch-outs in big spots from your relievers. It's been hard to come by of late, no doubt about it. Appreciate the phone call. Royals offensively, still middle of the road. 14th in Major League Baseball at OPS. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Warren, man, I'm hanging in there, a little disappointed tonight. Good stuff, though. I hear what you're saying. Let's talk about the game a little bit. Lugo, another quality start, man. I mean, the guy pitched his ass off again. Way to go. Hunter Renfroe, he hit the ball. If it wasn't for Vinny, we would have been skunked. But, this road thing's concerning. You got a Colorado pitching staff who's horrible. They have not missed many opposing teams' bats this year, but, boy, they sure did a good job against our Royals. Baseball's tough. I'm still happy with the team. We're still five games over. Like you said, Vern, everything you said earlier, a horrible season last year. But, man, the road thing, it's I don't know if it's mental or what's going on, because at home, they're like dynamite. Everybody's having a blast. But when they get on the road, it's like a dud. Buying a firework that just is a dud. I'll leave you with this. This is how they are on the road, everybody. Willie Nelson's on the road again. This is what the Royals hate. This is their least favorite song, Willie Nelson. On the road again. Can't wait to get on that road again. Come on, clean it up. Let's get a victory tomorrow. And as always, let's go Royals. Choo-choo, choo-choo-choo.
Big T, it's one or the other. It's either the train horn at the end or singing, but you can't do both. Royals have lost 14 of the last 18 road games. Let's stay in Shawnee. Let's talk with Vicky. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Vicky, go ahead.
Well, thank you for being there. I'm trying to be positive, but I have to ask you a question before every game. They have, am I correct in saying that they have coaches? I'm trying to think of, you know, the coaches that the preview every player on the game to teach
yes.
our players.
Yes, the coaches
how
they
do
play. Their job. Yes, yes, yes. The coaches and talk to players and do their job. Correct.
I blame them because they should have been able to teach our pitchers how their batter bits and teach us how their pitches step to us. They missed the ball on this. The people should have studied this team more.
Is there a specific coach, Vicky, that you're targeting here?
I do not know their names. I know they have people that go and study. What is the name of that?
Studiers.
Who's the people that goes and studies the group before we play them to teach
scouts.
Our players how they
advanced bat and scouts.
Pitch?
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. Vicky, I appreciate the phone call. Vicky going in on the advanced scouts as the Royals drop. Game 2 in Colorado, 3-1, the final score. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you missed the game, the Royals scored their one run, courtesy of a 434-foot blast from Vinny Pasquantino. 13 RBI in his last 12 games. Vinny's OPS since the start of June, an impressive 8-12. 3-1, your final score. Royals hope to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Rockies. Again, the best thing I can say about the Rockies is they're not the Chicago White Sox, and yet they're about to possibly sweep the 1, 2, and 3 of the best one of the best rotations in Major League Baseball. No way. They're not going to sweep the Royals. Get real. Quick timeout. We'll hear from Seth Lugo and get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Curveball ripped towards second. Hampson leaps, makes the catch right at the top of his jump. He pulled it down, took away a hit, saved a run, and kept the deficit at 2. A tremendous catch from Garrett Hampson at second base.
96 miles per hour off of the bat of Jake Cave. That falls for a hit 79% of the time. Not tonight, not with Garrett Hampson patrolling second base. He helps Chris Stratton escape that eighth inning and maintains a 3-1 Colorado lead heading to the ninth inning. Hunter Renfroe in the ninth inning with his team down 2 would hit a one-out single to left. Freddie Fermin would draw a walk with 2 outs, 2 batters later. So first and second with 2 outs, and Michael Massey comes off the bench to pinch hits. He grounds it to the right side for the 27th out, and the Royals drop game 2 in Colorado. 3-1, the final score. I mentioned Hunter Renfroe, a single there in the ninth. He had 3 hits tonight. It's his first 3-hit game of the season. And since returning from that toe injury, Renfroe's OPS is .861. He has 13 hits in the 14 games since coming back from the IL. Royals lose 3-1. They're now 9 games back of Cleveland and a game and a half off the pace of the Boston Red Sox for that final American League playoff spot. Let's go to Steven in Kansas City. Steven, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So listen, man, I have the deepest amount of respect for you, but I'm going to put you on the spot now, okay? So you're the general manager, Mr. Piccolo. The trade deadline's coming up. Yeah. What do you do, sir?
The trade deadline is still 3 weeks away, so you don't need to make a decision right now. That would be my answer.
Okay. So what do you think is happening with us, Josh? I love our team. I mean, what do you think it is? The offense maybe not feeding off the pitching? Vice versa? I mean, it's a circle. I mean, what's happening here? What do you think?
Appreciate the phone call. Well, tonight what happened was
Austin Gomber kept the Royals' bats off balance. You couldn't get the big hit. You had a man, two men in scoring position in the fourth inning, and MJ Melendez swings through a curveball in the dirt. You had first and third with one out in the seventh inning, and Garrett Hampson pops up on the infield, and Kyle Isbell flies out to center. Other than that, you know, I mentioned Bobby getting picked off in the eighth inning, and then the opportunity in the ninth. So tonight, yeah, it was, you know, credit to Austin Gomber, sure. I have no problem doing that. He earned it. But a bad night for the offense. I do think you need to acknowledge the other side. You know, tonight, again, tonight to me is not as frustrating as last night. Tonight's loss just further shines a light on just how much of a teeth grinder that one was. It kept me up way too late last night. And last night, yeah, the offense. I was a lot more frustrated with the offense last night. You know, Kyle Freeland's a good pitcher too. But the guys that let me down last night, Salvi, Vinny, Bobby, I have high expectations for them. So that one bothered me more than tonight. And then you throw in the instant replay moment. Yeah, last night was certainly more nauseating than this one. This one, you just feel bad for Seth Lugo. At least I do. Six innings of two-run baseball. He struck out five tonight. Lugo now has 110 strikeouts. That's top 20 in Major League Baseball. It's the fourth most for someone new to the Royals franchise. And, you know, looking at what he's done through his first 19 starts, 110 strikeouts, there are only five pitchers in franchise history that have 110 strikeouts through their first 19 starts. So Lugo's doing it in every facet. Innings pitched, ERA, and punchouts. I mean, the only guys to strike out this many batters, 19 starts into a season, I mean, it's a who's who. Zach Greinke, Kevin Apier, Cole Reagans, James Shields, and Ian Kennedy. That's it. Speaking of Seth Lugo, he spoke with the media, and the camera and microphone of Bally Sports Kansas City were there.
You know, no, a few things mechanically were off, but, you know, I feel like I made some good pitches, made a few mistakes, but, you know, defense played great behind me, and, you know, we kept the kept team in the game and had a chance the whole way, so that's positive I can take away from that.
When you say a few things mechanically that were off, what goes into that? The delivery, something else that you're feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, you know, a little sore on my wrist. You know, it's not an excuse, but, you know, it just threw me off a little bit, but, you know, I did my best.
Anything just with the environment that you have to adjust here? I know you pitched here before, but just in terms of that, you know, adjusting on your pitching.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You know, here, your mechanics really need to be crisp. You know, if they're out of whack just a little bit, it's really hard for, you know, pitches to catch and get to the right spot. So, you know, that's what I mean by just off a little bit mechanically. But, you know, overall, executed a lot of pitches, you know, made some pretty tough pitches, but, you know, move on to the next one.
Did you feel anything going and get that ball on the infield there?
No, that ground was so soft. I think that divot was at least 6 inches deep. So, no, that didn't hurt. You know, Mikey called me off right as I was going down. So, you know, kind of wish I'd been a little slow off the mound to give him a chance to make a play there.
McMahon's a guy who's given you trouble throughout your career. What is it about him that makes him a tough out for you?
Yeah, he's a good hitter. You know, he's got quick hands. You know, he's got a lot of power. So, you know, I try to pitch him carefully. You know, made a mistake to him. That's one pitch I wish I could have back. You know, trying to go in off and, you know, left it over the plate. And he got me. And I know he's capable of that.
Seth Lugo now 11-3 on the season. Tonight, six innings, two earned runs. He's gone at least six innings, allowing two earned runs or less in five straight starts. And in 14 of his 19 outings this season, that's the most in Major League Baseball. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number. It's also the text line number, 913-586-7610. Raj in the Ozarks says, we're scoring like a soccer team. Yeah, you're right. One run tonight, two runs last night. Okay, they did drop an 8 spot on the Rays in a losing effort. back at Kauffman Stadium, but I like it. I'm with it. You're right. Not enough, certainly. That's 100% right, Raj. Scott in Phoenix says, Vern, we're a good team, but clearly not quite good enough right now to stake our claim as postseason ready. Scott, I think that's very well put. I know going into that finale against Tampa, that rubber game against the Rays, it was my belief that if the Royals can win this series and finish off a 7-3 homestand, they will stake their claim as the fourth best team in the American League. I know the Twins had a better record at the time, but the rotation of this Royals staff, to me, has them leapfrogging Minnesota. At least as far as the regular season is concerned. You know, Lopez and Joe Ryan, that's a pretty formidable 1-2. But you win that series against the Rays, I think it's clear that it's Yankees, Orioles, Guardians as a top tier in the American League, and then the Royals right there at number four. But, as I mentioned, they didn't win that series against Tampa. And since they've dropped the first two games in Colorado, so I think you put it very well. Yeah, very, you know, a good team, no doubt. But no, they obviously can't stake their claim as postseason ready. They're a game and a half back of Boston right now for that final spot in the American League. Scott, appreciate it, man. Matt in Arizona. Look at us, blowing up in Arizona. Matt writes in, 3 runs in 2 games is unacceptable. Base running mistakes with the tying run at the plate in the 8th inning, that can't happen. Vern, the home and road offensive rakes that they showed on the broadcast tonight are hard to believe and very concerning for the playoff race. We better avoid a sweep tomorrow. Yeah, no doubt, Matt. No doubt about it. It's never okay to get swept. I guess you can understand it if it happens on the road, but not in Colorado, not to this team, not to a squad that is, without question, one of the 3 worst in the sport. Pam writes in on the text line, Vern, if the Royals go below 500 on this road trip, they need to be sellers. All right. Now, are you saying like for the season, like if they lose the remaining 6 games and they hit the All-Star break at 48-49, they need to be sellers? Okay, that makes sense. Or, Pam, are you saying if they have a losing road trip, they need to be sellers? Because they can have a losing road trip and hit the All-Star break with a record of 50-47. I don't know if you need to be a seller, but I never bought in that they were going to be an aggressive buyer. So I don't know how much, you know, swaying is happening back and forth between buyer and seller right now in that front office. I've been pretty steadfast to go back to Steven's call earlier. You know, if you've listened to the show, I've said it now for months. I'm not getting in a bidding war for anyone. A reliever, a bat, I'm not getting in a bidding war for anyone. It's just not worth it in 2024. Not with this team, not in this market, not this season, not with the playoff format as it's currently constructed. It just does not make sense to get into a bidding war for anyone coming off a 106-loss season. All right, let's head to Lee's Summit. Talk with Steve. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey. So I've been super excited about the Royals all year. Loving to listen on the radio every night because I can't get on the TV. Went out last Sunday and it was an awesome game, awesome weather. I'm still excited about it.
Good. Good, man. That's awesome to hear. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. You're next up on the postgame show. Garrett, how you feeling, boss?
I don't know how to feel. You know, one night I'm feeling good about everything, and then one night I'm just feeling down. You know, tonight is just one of those nights where you got to win this game. And I got one concern. It goes to the offense. Is there a way that we can, like, I don't know if we would fire Alex Zumwalt, but is there a way we can, like, maybe like him take a break and then the assistant hitting coach come up, because I just feel like there's not that.
What do you think that's going to do, Garrett? Garrett, what does that do?
I feel like they're just, identity is not good with the offense right now. Because,
you know what?
Look, you scored 8 runs on
18 road games. Let's stay in Shawnee. Let's talk with Vicky. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Vicky, go ahead.
Well, thank you for being there. I'm trying to be positive, but I have to ask you a question. Before every game, they have, am I correct in saying that they have coaches? I'm trying to think of, you know, the coaches that preview every player on the game to teach
yes,
our players.
Yes, the coaches
how they
do
play.
Their job. Yes, yes, yes. The coaches and talk to players and do their job. Correct.
I blame them because they should have been able to teach our pitchers how their batter bets and teach us how their pitches step to us. They messed the ball on this. The people should have studied this team more.
Is there a specific coach, Vicky, that you're targeting here?
I do not know their names. I know they have people that go and study. What is the name of that?
Studiers.
Who's the people that goes and studies the group before we play them to teach
scouts.
Our players how they
advanced
bat and
scouts.
Pitch?
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. Vicky, I appreciate the phone call. Vicky going in on the advanced scouts as the Royals drop. Game 2 in Colorado, 3-1, the final score. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you missed the game, the Royals scored their one run, courtesy of a 434-foot blast from Vinny Pasquantino. 13 RBI in his last 12 games. Vinny's OPS since the start of June, an impressive 812. 3-1, your final score. Royals hope to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Rockies. Again, the best thing I can say about the Rockies is they're not the Chicago White Sox, and yet they're about to possibly sweep the 1, 2, and 3 of the best one of the best rotations in Major League Baseball. No way. They're not going to sweep the Royals. Get real. Quick timeout. We'll hear from Seth Lugo and get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Curveball ripped towards second. Hampson leaps, makes the catch right at the top of his jump. He pulled it down, took away a hit, saved a run, and kept the deficit at 2. A tremendous catch from Garrett Hampson at second base.
96 miles per hour off of the bat of Jake Cave. That falls for a hit 79% of the time. Not tonight. Not with Garrett Hampson patrolling second base. He helps Chris Stratton escape that eighth inning and maintains a 3-1 Colorado lead heading to the ninth inning. Hunter Renfroe in the ninth inning with his team down 2 would hit a one-out single to left. Freddie Fermin would draw a walk with 2 outs, 2 batters later. So first and second with 2 outs, and Michael Massey comes off the bench to pinch hits. He grounds it to the right side for the 27th out, and the Royals drop game 2 in Colorado. 3-1, the final score. I mentioned Hunter Renfroe, a single there in the ninth. He had 3 hits tonight. It's his first 3-hit game of the season. And since returning from that toe injury, Renfroe's OPS is .861. He has 13 hits in the 14 games since coming back from the IL. Royals lose 3-1. They're now 9 games back of Cleveland and a game and a half off the pace of the Boston Red Sox for that final American League playoff spot. Let's go to Steven in Kansas City. Steven, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So listen, man, I have the deepest amount of respect for you, but I'm going to put you on the spot now, okay? So
okay. You're
the general manager, Mr. Piccolo. The trade deadline's coming up. Yeah. What do you do, sir?
Well, I mean, the trade deadline is still 3 weeks away, so you don't need to make a decision right now. That would be my answer.
Okay. So what do you think is happening with us, Josh? I love our team. I mean, what do you think it is? The offense maybe not feeding off the pitching? Vice versa? I mean, it's a circle. I mean, what's happening here? What do you think?
Appreciate the phone call. Well, tonight what happened was Austin Gomber kept the Royals' bats off balance. You couldn't get the big hit. You had two men in scoring position in the fourth inning, and MJ Melendez swings through a curveball in the dirt. You had first and third with one out in the seventh inning, and Garrett Hampson pops up on the infield, and Kyle Isbell flies out to center. Other than that, you know, I mentioned Bobby getting picked off in the eighth inning, and then the opportunity in the ninth. So tonight, yeah, it was, you know, credit to Austin Gomber, sure. I have no problem doing that. He earned it. But a bad night for the offense. I do think you need to acknowledge the other side. Now, tonight, again, tonight to me is not as frustrating as last night. Tonight's loss just further shines a light on just how much of a teeth grinder that one was. It kept me up way too late last night. And last night, yeah, the offense. I was a lot more frustrated with the offense last night. Now, Kyle Freeland's a good pitcher, too. But the guys that let me down last night, Salvi, Vinny, Bobby, I have high expectations for them. So that one bothered me more than tonight. And then you throw in the instant replay moment. Yeah, last night was certainly more nauseating than this one. This one, you just feel bad for Seth Lugo. At least I do. Six innings of two-run baseball. He struck out five tonight. Lugo now has 110 strikeouts. That's top 20 in Major League Baseball. That's the fourth most for someone new to the Royals franchise. And, you know, looking at what he's done through his first 19 starts, 110 strikeouts, there are only five pitchers in franchise history that have 110 strikeouts through their first 19 starts. So Lugo's doing it in every facet. Innings pitched, ERA, and punchouts. I mean, the only guys to strike out this many batters, 19 starts into a season, I mean, it's a who's who. Zach Greinke, Kevin Apier, Cole Ragans, James Shields, and Ian Kennedy. That's it. Speaking of Seth Lugo, he spoke with the media, and the camera and microphone of Bally Sports Kansas City were there.
You know, I know a few things mechanically were off, but, you know, I feel like I made some good pitches, made a few mistakes, but, you know, defense played great behind me, and, you know, we kept the team in the game and had a chance the whole way, so that's positive I can take away from that.
When you say a few things mechanically that were off, what goes into that? The delivery, something else that you're feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, you know, a little sore on my wrist. You know, it's not an excuse, but, you know, it just threw me off a little bit. But, you know, I did my best.
Anything just with the environment that you have to adjust here? I know you pitched here before, but just in terms of that, you know, adjusting on your pitching.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You know, here your mechanics really need to be crisp. You know, if they're out of whack just a little bit, it's really hard for, you know, pitches to catch and get to the right spot. So, you know, that's what I mean by just off a little bit mechanically. But, you know, overall, executed a lot of pitches, you know, made some pretty tough pitches, but, you know, move on to the next one.
Did you feel anything going to get that ball on the infield there?
No, that ground was so soft. I think that divot was at least 6 inches deep. So, no, that didn't hurt. You know, Mikey called me off right as I was going down. So, you know, kind of wish I'd been a little slow off the mound to give him a chance to make a play there.
McMahon's a guy who's given you trouble throughout your career. What is it about him that makes him a tough out for you?
Yeah, he's a good hitter. You know, he's got quick hands. You know, he's got a lot of power. So, you know, I try to pitch him carefully. You know, made a mistake to him. That's one pitch I wish I could have back. You know, trying to go in off and, you know, left it over the plate. And he got me. And I know he's capable of that.
Seth Lugo now 11-3 on the season. Tonight, six innings, two earned runs. He's gone at least six innings, allowing two earned runs or less in five straight starts. And in 14 of his 19 outings this season, that's the most in Major League Baseball. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. It's also the text line number, 913-586-7610. Raj in the Ozarks says, we're scoring like a soccer team. Yeah, you're right. One run tonight, two runs last night. Okay, they did drop an 8 spot on the Rays in a losing effort back at Kauffman Stadium, but I like it. I'm with it. You're right. Not enough, certainly. That's 100% right, Raj. Scott in Phoenix says, Vern, we're a good team, but clearly not quite good enough right now to stake our claim as postseason ready. Scott, I think that's very well put. I know going into that finale against Tampa, that rubber game against the Rays, it was my belief that if the Royals can win this series and finish off a 7-3 homestand, they will stake their claim as the fourth best team in the American League. I know the Twins had a better record at the time, but the rotation of this Royals staff, to me, has them leapfrogging Minnesota, at least as far as the regular season is concerned. You know, Lopez and Joe Ryan, that's a pretty formidable 1-2. But you win that series against the Rays, I think it's clear that it's Yankees, Orioles, Guardians as a top tier in the American League, and then the Royals right there at number four. But, as I mentioned, they didn't win that series against Tampa. And since they've dropped the first two games in Colorado, so I think you put it very well. Yeah, very, you know, a good team, no doubt. But no, they obviously can't stake their claim as postseason ready. They're a game and a half back of Boston right now for that final spot in the American League. Scott, appreciate it, man. Matt in Arizona. Look at us, blowing up in Arizona. Matt writes in, three runs in two games is unacceptable. Base running mistakes with the tying run at the plate in the eighth inning, that can't happen. Vern, the home and road offensive rakes that they showed on the broadcast tonight are hard to believe and very concerning for the playoff race. We better avoid a sweep tomorrow. Yeah, no doubt, Matt. No doubt about it. It's never okay to get swept. I guess you can understand it if it happens on the road, but not in Colorado, not to this team, not to a squad that is, without question, one of the three worst in the sport. Pam writes in on the text line, Vern, if the Royals go below 500 on this road trip, they need to be sellers. All right. Now, are you saying, like, for the season, like, if they lose the remaining six games and they hit the All-Star break at 48-49, they need to be sellers? Okay, that makes sense. Or, Pam, are you saying if they have a losing road trip, they need to be sellers? Because they can have a losing road trip and hit the All-Star break with a record of 50-47. I don't know if you need to be a seller, but I never bought in that they were going to be an aggressive buyer. So I don't know how much, you know, swaying is happening back and forth between buyer and seller right now in that front office. I've been pretty steadfast to go back to Steven's call earlier. You know, if you've listened to the show, I've said it now for months. I'm not getting in a bidding war for anyone. A reliever, a bat, I'm not getting in a bidding war for anyone. It's just not worth it in 2024. Not with this team, not in this market, not this season, not with the playoff format as it's currently constructed. It just does not make sense to get into a bidding war for anyone coming off a 106 loss season. All right, let's head to Lee's Summit, talk with Steve. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey. So I've been super excited about the Royals all year. Loving to listen on the radio every night because I can't get on the TV. Went out last Sunday, and it was an awesome game, awesome weather. I'm still excited about it.
Good. Good, man. That's awesome to hear. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. You're next up on the postgame show. Garrett, how you feeling, boss?
I don't know how to feel. You know, one night I'm feeling good about everything, and then one night I'm just feeling down. You know, tonight is just one of those nights where you got to win this game. And I got one concern. It goes to the offense. Is there a way that we can, like, I don't know if we would fire Alex Zumwo, but is there a way we can, like, maybe, like, him take a break and then the assistant hitting coach come up? Because I just feel like there's not that.
What do you think that's going to do, Garrett? Garrett, what does that do?
I feel like they're just, identity is not good with the offense right now. Because,
you know what?
Look, you scored 8 runs on Sunday or whatever.
Give me this then, Garrett. Who's your hitting coach in waiting?
The assistant hitting coach.
Which one?
Hold on, let me look it up.
No, get out of here. Thanks for the phone call. Guys, we're not doing that in 2024, are we? You know what? Let's fire the close right now. If that's what we're doing, we're ending the show. Every single season, Kansas City, we can't do this. You got to be better than that. Blame Garrett. Every year, you guys want to fire the hitting coach. Every year, you want to fire the pitching coach. You got to be smarter than that. Royals have lost 8 of their last 9 road games, 14 total runs in that span. Hitting .078 with runners in scoring position over the last 9 road games. But again, it's still a middle-of-the-road offense. No need to panic. You better win this game tomorrow. I'll tell you that right now. James Howell, thank you very much for the help. We're blaming Garrett for ending this show early. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.